living the dream. Good morning.
Little Speed Fossil bringing us in there with Living the Dream is the name of the song. Speed Fossil, the name of the band. My longtime close friend from growing up. We were 6 years old when we met, and now we're not. We're not six. Nick, how's it going today on Breeders' Cup Saturday?
I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go. I had such a good day yesterday. It's great when you have your bets covered, not only for the day, but for the weekend. So I'm playing with house money. You know how great that feeling is when the opportunity comes up. It's come up a few times this year, just didn't show up at Colonial.
Oh, hey, I meant to ask you, can I borrow a couple bucks?
Yeah. I'll have to Venmo.
That's it. I'll get you the address in a minute. All right, Nick, let's, before you guys get on to some serious handicapping of today's card, let's revisit yesterday's card here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. I want to bring in former trainer, now podcast host, bloodstock guy, man about town, Chuck Simon, going to join me here. Chuck, good morning. Happy Breeders' Cup Saturday.
Hey, Frank. How's everything?
Everything's everything, man. We're getting ready for Breeders' Cup Saturday. A year ago, I think you and I talked the Saturday after Breeders' Cup Friday a year ago, and kind of all you could talk about, all anybody could talk about, was Modern Games winning the juvenile turf, but running for purse money only because of a completely bollocked scratch and unscratch and pretty much of a fiasco. So kind of nice that this year we could just talk about horses.
Yeah, there was no wagering debacles. Thankfully, the CHRB is not involved in this Breeders' Cup, so we can just talk about, the two themes that emerged yesterday, which is European domination of turf races, and horses that have a race over the track certainly benefited greatly in the dirt race.
Yeah, let's start with the Europeans. Clean sweep of the turf races for the Euros, and I think they went 1-2 in two of the three. What was the performance from that group that really caught your eye?
I'll be honest, pretty much all of them, I think, were huge efforts. Mischief Magic in the first race in the first the juvenile turf sprint, he won in a style which you just don't see happen in turf sprints at Keeneland very much, and that's to be dead last down the backside. You can't just, kind of knife your way through the field. But, William Buick is, for my money, the best turf rider in the world. And, Charlie Appleby has just made the U.S. into his own little personal ATM. And every month he comes over with one of those Godolphin runners and just, beats up on us. But that horse really made he had some traffic trouble in the stretch. And Buick never steadied him. He never really checked him. He just kept moving forward. And then when a hole opened up, he took it, and he didn't let Rosario, who was on Private Creed, keep him in, and that won the race for him. But, Dramatized, who was the horse to finish second, that horse ran a good race as well. Persian Force, who was fourth in the race, was really caught wide, and I mean, he was 4 or 5 wide while the winner was on the rail. And, the Europeans could have easily ran 1, 2, 3 in that race. The juvenile turf fillies, Mediate, was just, on paper, she looked the best. That's Aidan O'Brien, Coolmore, and Ryan Moore. And she was just, much the best. I mean, she sat in the back of the pack, moved out, angled out in the stretch, and just blew them away.
I want to jump in on Meditate for a second, Chuck, because this is a chart comment you don't see all that often. Engulfed foes, and that is a good word. I mean, this horse really kind of overpowered them. Got that last eighth of a mile in 11.19 seconds. Running time for the juvenile fillies turf faster by about four-fifths of a second than the juvenile turf.
Yeah, and a lot of times turf final times have a lot to do with relationship with pace. But for her, you don't see horses, you know, go from one call being ace to the next call being first. But and it was just done in a manner which you just don't see that often. But she was very, very much the best. And I mean, Pleasant Passage, who ran second for Shug and Emery Hamilton, that horse actually ran a good race. She just was no match. And there was a lot of traffic trouble in that race. And, you know, these two-year-old races that are 13 and 14 deep, you're going to have traffic issues. A lot of times these horses, you know, especially even the Europeans, haven't even run around a turn. So that was just another case of the Europeans just being better than us. And I think the final race of the day, the Colts and Geldings two-year-old juvenile race, was more of the same. Victoria Road was on the inside. Silver Knot was following Victoria Road, and they both found seams at the top of the stretch that just didn't even appear like they were available. And those guys got them through, and it was a great finish between the two, with Victoria Road nosing out Silver Knot. But again, it was a few lengths back to the rest of them, and you know, it's a little bit humbling to think that not only are we not winning these races, we're not even coming close.
Yeah, I it feels to me, I'm curious as to whether this is your sense, it really kind of feels to me like the gap between European turf horses and American turf horses might be getting even wider. It does not feel like, for the most part, we're all that competitive.
No, and if you think about today's races, just looking at today's races, the American mares, the fillies and mares on the grass going long, they're pretty good. It's a pretty representative field, and I think, honestly, maybe our best long-distance mare, Warlike Goddess, is actually racing against the boys because of the course configuration. Mott thinks the fillies and mares turf is too short, but the boys think, I mean, the male turf horses in this country are not good. They are, it's just, there's no other way of saying it. And I mean, there's a good opportunity that if Warlike Goddess doesn't hit the board in the turf, that no Americans will be on the board 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, and that's a race where, looking ahead, Charlie Appleby might run 1, 2, win out. Because he has, you know, seemingly the two best horses going in. But, yeah, I don't know why it is that if they've just gotten better or what. Because, you know, people forget to, and they want to say, well, the breeding, this and that. But a lot of the European breeding is American breeding. They buy tons and tons of our mares. And, you know, remember Godolphin and Coolmore, who are Aidan O'Brien and Charlie Appleby's outfits, they have operations in America too. You know, they're huge operations here. So it's not like they're completely separate from us, but it happens all year now, but the Breeders' Cup yesterday really was, I don't think it was a fluke either. I mean, it seems like we've got to figure out a way to, either get better horses or do more and do better with them, because right now we're just punching bags for them.
Yeah, and it's I think one of the things that's interesting about that is that turf racing in the U.S. has really become more prominent in the last few years. You see a lot more of it than you used to, and yet we're not closing the gap, and you could see that as you just said yesterday. So an interesting conundrum.
No, that's a good point, Frank. And you know, going back 25 years ago, there was no two-year-old Breeders' Cup turf races. And in this country, there weren't a whole lot of two-year-old stakes. I remember Hollywood Park had that big stake for two-year-olds, and in the fall it was one of the ones. The Pilgrim in New York has been in Miss Grillo. They've been around for a while, but there weren't a lot. Now there's a lot, and there's tons of maidens. And I remember, you know, 30 years ago, if you had a turf-bred two-year-old, you raced them on the dirt, because there weren't many opportunities until they were three. And even then, it's not like it is now. There's tons of opportunities on the grass. So why aren't our horses getting better? That's, you know, it's a question that needs to be pondered, but, you know, it's a global view kind of thing. It's not a any one particular person or horse or trainer can fix, but, yeah, it's the gap is getting bigger, and I don't really know how we're going to fix it.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Talking with Chuck Simon here. He is co-host of the podcast Going in Circles, and his co-host Barry Spear is going to join us at the bottom of the hour here on Off to the Races, powered by the Racing Biz. And Chuck, let's talk about the dirt races briefly. Starting with the juvenile, Forte, a nice-looking win. I think if you want to, you know, in the future, if you want to explain to somebody what sitting the trip means, you show them Forte in this race.
Yeah, I read gave him a perfect ride. And, you know, they got an assist from Hurricane Jay, a horse that I don't really know what the plan was. being in the race, coming out of two sprint races that, you know, were okay, but not great. He actually scratched out of a race where he looked like he was competitive at Keeneland last weekend on 26 furlongs for this race, and all he really did was compromise Cave Rock's chances. Yep. But I mean, it wasn't like Cave Rock wound up getting pressed through a 45 half mile. He was well within himself, it seemed, but he didn't really have much of an answer for Forte, who just sat right behind the speed on the inside, angled out on the turn, and won pretty convincingly. And, he had a race over the track, which helped, certainly. And he's got racing experience. I mean, he started earlier in the year, and I think that was his fifth race, which, yep. You see the trend now that people don't race 2 year olds very often. But, this horse has danced a lot of dances, and the experience certainly helped him. And, you know, for the rest of them, Curly Jack was kind of touted a little bit, but he did, you know, he got a nice trip. He didn't finish up much. Blazing Sevens, who won the Champagne, made a little bit of a run, but wasn't really, you know, close. National Treasure, that's the other Baffert horse. He sat on the outside, third chased, and really kind of just ran evenly. So, Forte is a deserving champion, and obviously you think right now the future book favorite for the Kentucky Derby, which at this time of year, that's something that people care about.
Yes, it's like the second the race is done, we're like, okay, Kentucky Derby. But minutes left,
and the
in
time
the segment
for that race was a lot faster than the Phillies.
Yes.
So that was a very, very strong race by Forte. It was, they went a mile and a 16th on what seemed to be a fair track. I mean, maybe a little tilted towards front runners, but they went 143.06. And Wonder Wheel, who won the juvenile fillies, went 144.90. So pretty close to 2 seconds faster, which is a significant time considering the fractions. The early fractions were very similar. Forte's
yeah, they were
race
just
was
about
really,
identical.
Really good. Yeah, his race was, he was very, very good yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was a strong performance, as you said. Perfect ride by Irad, perfect trip for Forte, and comes home much the best. Want to very briefly turn our attention to today and ask you this question. Anybody going to beat Flightline?
I mean, I don't think so. But what I really hoping for that race is that Life Is Good doesn't capitulate and he fights back and those two hook up down the backside and you know, through the turn and really make him work and earn it. You know, Life Is Good is kind of gotten the, you know, for a horse with his record, he hasn't gotten a lot of respect the last few months. And I really like to see him take it to Flightline, because Flightline has basically buried every horse that has been put in front of him. And I don't know that Life Is Good is just going to give in like the other ones. And I think Flightline will win. I mean, he's by Tappet. The 1.25 has already proven not to be an issue. Life Is Good, you know, he may not be able to get the 1.25, but I would just want to see Flightline have to reach to, you know, reach deep and just let's really see what he's got. And, you know, this is it for him, I'm sure. So, you know, both of them, this will be their last race. So just let it all hang out and, you know, see, I mean, can someone pick up the pieces if they go some ridiculous 44 and change, 108 change? I mean, it's possible, you know. Ibo or Epicenter might be able to pick him up, but I just want a good race. And, you know, this, like I said, is probably the last time we're going to see them. And let's just hope for a good race and hope everything goes well.
All right. Sounds good. Chuck Simon, thanks so much for joining us here on Off to the Races. Good luck this afternoon. And I'm sure we'll be talking down the road a piece.
And yes, sir. Well, good luck today to everybody. And, hey, you know, have fun.
All right, that's what it's all about. Well, having fun, making a little bit of money. We're going to head to break here on Off to the Races. On the other side, Nick's going to be back, Derby Bill's going to be here, and Barry Spear is going to join us and handicap the Saturday card. You're listening to Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. Don't go anywhere. Join the Maryland Jockey Club to celebrate the 37th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day on Saturday, October 22nd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races and enjoy a great day of racing with on-track entertainment between races, including the Settlers Post Clydesdales. Visit the new Kids Zone, Ponies in the Paddock. Meet us at Laurel Park on Saturday, October 22nd. Visit laurelpark.com for details. First post, 11:30 a.m.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour Racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock, and on September 17th, it's free long-sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family-friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallion standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
And we're back on Off to the Races. Little Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the artists we lost this year, along with Loretta Lynn. But he's still the killer. Jimmy Page and a little bit of background guitar as well. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. You know, one thing, we just had Chuck Simon on, Barry Spears here holding just for a moment. One thing the three of us have in common is if any of us were a little bit better at basketball, we would not be here picking Breeders' Cup races on this Saturday, perhaps. But glad that that's not the case, as Chuck Simon with some good handicapping advice and observations, and Barry Spears here joining us on Off to the Races. Of course, we got Derby Bill as well, and Derby Bill has a show within a show worthy of his own bumper music, and let's see what he has this week. He likes that sweet Virginia breeze. And we're happy. A little bit of a breeze here in Virginia. And Barry Spears knows a little bit about that sweet Virginia breeze, playing basketball at Virginia Union, and now a co-host on the Going in Circles podcast. You just heard his other co-host, Chuck Simon. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. What's going on, my man?
I tell you what, it's I'm living well at the moment, thanks to a great Breeders' Cup Friday, and you know what it's like playing with house money, and you got such a great day. How's everything with you? Are people getting back on their feet? We were worried about you during Hurricane Ian a little bit, but everybody kind of getting back to normal in Florida?
Yeah, slowly. I don't think this, at least where I'm at in Daytona, I don't think we're going to be back to normal for another, let's say, 6 months. It was pretty bad in my area, and I've, you know, very blessed to have dodged the bullet, you know, structurally wise and everything on my house and, you know, everything else. But my neighborhood, like where I live, behind where I live, is really kind of messed up still, and there's big trees around that they still got to pick up, and people have furniture outside from all the flooding, and yeah, it's still a little messy, but we're gonna bounce back.
Derby Bill, it's 182 days and 8 hours until the Kentucky Derby. That's almost the polar opposite of the year from now, so the Breeders' Cup just comes up perfect in the schedule. You chose Sweet Virginia Breeze as your bumper this morning. Why so?
Well, welcome, Churchill, joining of the Commonwealth, we'll call it that way. Virginia and Kentucky coming together is, you know, a dream for a horse racing guy. So, you know, I was hoping Churchill Downs bought Colonial Downs way back in 1999 when I was listening to Prince and Dancing Disco. But I'm glad Churchill's on board. They have enough money to float our way and get the Virginia Derby up to $500,000 and get grade one race here. And Kentucky Derby prep race, like we just saw here, Arabian Night. God, a guy named Bob Baffert won the first race today. Nick, you heard that's of him?
Yeah, that's right. I failed to mention post time 10:30, so the first race is already over. Didn't get a chance to pick a favorite from what I see.
One thing about that favorite is I was very, 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 very impressed with what I saw. I mean, you definitely got to tab this horse for next year in the Derby already.
Put them in the futures. They just had the futures close this past week. You could actually bet on any of 40 interests. The next one, by the way, comes up November 24th. Damon's Mound was 123-1. I got a ticket on that. Extra Anejo, 12-1, was the favorite in that pool. But we want to talk Breeders' Cup with it's a small field for the Breeders' Cup, but it's still a mile and a quarter, and there are a lot of – this race would fit well on the resumes of almost every horse here, whether it's going against older horses, whether it's getting the distance, whether it's winning outside of California. Barry, we'll start with you in the 8-horse Breeders' Cup Classic, which is just a legendary race. This could really be a coronation for Flightline, or it could be one of the massive upsets in Breeders' Cup history. What happens today on NBC at about 5:40 when the gates open?
Oh, man, this race is giving me fits all week. There's so many different directions you can actually go, and it's not as simple, at least from my perspective. It's not just Flightline and everybody else. I think this is the toughest field he's faced by far, and he's going to have his hands full all the way around. There's horses that are going to be closing. He's got to contend with Life is Good on the front end, who is as fast as anything. And you have horses like Taba, who I like, coming into this race the right way and improving.
Yeah, it really is. Flightline, it's not an absolute, even though the morning line is 3-5. Derby Bill, Flightline, is a California dominated horse, but does have that win at the Met Mile. Now that's a mile by six lengths back in June. So what do you think about the Breeders' Cup? Do you see a big upset here?
No, I just see Flightline as the Secretary of the West, we'll call it. Just a monster. I just can't beat him. I'd like to use Baffert's horse with the Urban Handicapper there. Urban Handicapper's just a monster, man. The guy's on there. He hooked up with Mike Dempsey down in Florida or something here. He wrote a book on this race on the internet. I mean, this is like unbelievable. The guy wrote a book on every race. I mean, this guy's going to be something in the future when Derby's dead and gone. I mean, it's going to have to take over. I mean, I can't believe he wrote that much about a race where Flightline should go off and pay $3 and finish a pick five or a pick four or a pick three, whatever you're playing there, the only way to get any value out of the race. I think even Bob Baffert would admit Tavia doesn't have a shot against Flightline to me. So I'm just all in on Flightline there. I'm not going to bet him heavy because he's 3-5. So there's too many other races with opportunity. And yesterday wasn't a long shot day, but only one favorite won in the Breeders' Cup race. So the Mediate was a monster, but the rest of them, one favorite finished last. I think Chop Chop finished last, and most of the favorites got beat yesterday in the Breeders' Cup races, but not this one, Nick. I'm going Flightline, but I'm only using them in horizontally.
He's going to take the free square with Flightline just in this field, because we want to make sure we mention some of these others, like Epicenter, the hard battler in the Triple Crown, and the Travers winners, Rich Strike, who can come out of nowhere. We saw that in the Derby. Hot Rod Charlie, also in this field. Olympiad as well. Life is Good. The only one that may be one to completely steer away from is Happy Saber, which will obviously make him the big shocking winner if he pulls it off. The race just before it is the Breeders' Cup Turf, going a mile and a half. This has a field of, let me get to the back page here, 13. It does include Red Knight, who is my long shot play of the day, the winner of the Colonial Cup, who has won at a mile and a half, one of the few horses that have sort of, you know, excelled at that distance. I think has an opportunity. I think he's going to run better than that 20-1 morning line, but the Europeans are well represented here. You have this sort of unique combination of Adrian O'Brien and Arad Ortiz on Broome, and Bye Bye Melvin is in this race, Stone Age, but Rebel's Romance, 3-1 is the morning line favorite. Barry, I know you're not one for favorites. You like to steal the purse, so to speak. Who do you like in the Breeders' Cup Turf?
Yeah, funny enough, you know, people are really going after the American turf horses, that they're not very good. But I ended up kind of doing a sort of European horse in the 13 Highland Chief. I think this horse merits a really good shot, second off the layoff for Grand Motion. And this horse has some races back in 2022 early, in May and June, that could win this race. So I think we're at a point where Charlie Appleby is going to start being overbet. Even though Rebel's Romance looks very good here, I just can't bet favorites.
Absolutely. Highland Chief, winner of the Man of War. I think I remember picking that horse that day to win the Man of War. Grand Motion trains. Derby Bill, your thought in the Breeders' Cup Turf?
Breeders' Cup Turf, Frankie DeTerra had his choice of riding the 7 or the 11 in this race, and he chose the 11 for a good reason. You know, obviously with Barry, 6-1 beats 7-2 in any gambler's mind. So Mishri, very positive foreigner here. The Euros won yesterday. I mean, it's apple season in Virginia, and Applebee's just tearing it up. Applebee and Aiden O'Brien are just dominating the turf. But, you know, so you got to respect, Roman's Rebel's Romance and obviously Nation's Perk. But I'm going with Mishreef with La Franco de Taro doing his dismounting and heading to California to race at Santa Anita this winter.
Mishriff, Derby Bills picked the 11 horse 6-1 in the morning line. The race right before that, the ninth race, they're on NBC at this point with the Breeders' Cup Distaff going a mile and an eighth. Just an assemblage of nice horses here between Malathat and Secret Oath, who won the Kentucky Oaks, Clairiere, Nest, who is the three-year-old that has kind of really surged on, especially after the summer here. What are your thoughts, Barry? This is sort of like the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's an eight-horse field, but there are no slouches in this group.
Yeah, all formidable foes. I ended up going with number one, Malathat. I think she's just very, very tough, especially her running style, and her post-position draw was very, very good. I think she's going to be close enough into the race early and have her way with, coming around the turn. I don't think she's going to be on the lead, but I think she's going to be in a great, great spot. But this is a really good race, and I'm very excited to see what happens.
Malathat there with Todd Pletcher. One interesting thing about the Breeders' Cup is the breeders really have shown up in the sense that the best sires in America, Curlin and Gunrunner and even Arrogate, have all shown up prominently on the card. And there's actually sort of a new generation that's starting to emerge amongst the juvies that we saw yesterday. But Derby Bill here, the Nest is the flight line, if you will, of the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Big challenge for the three-year-old there at 9-5. What do you think? Does Nest win, or do you like somebody else?
I'm hoping for Malathat with Barry there too, because I got him in the double. The turf and the Philly turf and the Distaff double. So, got to play on Malathat and the backside of a daily double that might pay you, I think, $28 or something five times. So, got a lot of love for Johnny B, and a little bit of love for Todd Pletcher in this one for an upset of Nests. I mean, Pletcher's got the 1-2 in this race, so it's hard to, and as Barry said, this is just a solid race. It's you're going to have to bet heavy to win anything on this race, because there's just very top-heavy here with Malathat and Nest and Steven Search results with Chad Brown here. You got some top horses going to fill the exact and trifecta here, so you're going to have to bet Nick Hahn-type money.
Yeah, I tell you what, I may go a little light. I'm alive in all of the doubles. I had such a good day yesterday. That never happens to me, but I'm actually alive in the three doubles that carried over from yesterday. The Breeders' Cup Mile is the race right before that. That should still be on USA Network post time at 3:10, going a mile on that turf. And it does look like Front Run the Fed is going to get into the race with the scratch of King Cause. So that's the winner of the Van Cleef Stakes at Colonial Downs over the summer gets in by all means. So kind of, long shot here, 30-1. But this is a very full field as well. Help me with this one, Barry.
I need to help myself with this one. This is a really, really tough race. I ended up on the one, Pogo. I think this horse has some races back, at Newmarket and Haydock, Goodwood, that are really competitive with everybody in here. 20-1 on the morning line. Why not take a shot?
Absolutely. This is one that's going to be fun. You definitely want to spread wide in your exotics here with horses like Kinross in the field. Derby Bill, domestic spending is in this group for Chad Brown. This is going to be quite the race.
Yeah, I saw Front Run the Fed at Dairy Queen eating a combination, so I would not be real fond of taking that horse in this race, Nick, but at Colonial Downs, he was Dairy Queen special, just like Derby Bill. Red Knight's much better long shot for you there with the Special K winning at Colonial Cup and then win at the Hill, the Churchill Downs, Fort Knox Hill of Hell. winning there. So that Red Knight's a real good long shot for you in that previous race. Annapolis is my play again here. He won at Keeneland last time out, just stole the race from the front. And Ired Ortiz Jr. knows what he's doing here. He's got to get to the get inside somehow with this horse and just get to the lead and just try to hold off the Applebee's in the world and you know, the late closers here, Regal Glory and Modern Games. Yeah, but I'm going to try Annapolis again here, 10-1. I think he was 8-1 last time at Keeneland, so and he won. So I'm going to, you know, not get off a horse that paid you $20 to win.
Yeah, I actually had that horse last time out, too. So, yeah, what Derby Bill is referring to, the Dairy Queen outside of Colonial Downs is where you go when you had a winning day and you celebrate with a blizzard. So that's what Front Run the Fed did when he did the Van Cleef, at least according to what Derby Bill saw. We'll do one more before we ask for your best of the rest. The BC Sprint. This is a race that's really intriguing to me because Jackie's Warrior has done just about everything except win a Breeders' Cup race, starting from when he was a big favorite as a two-year-old, now a four-year-old, and with so many ones on his PP lines, it kind of looks like a picket fence. Barry, do you think Jackie's Warrior finally gets it done in the Breeders' Cup today?
Yes, I do. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Jackie's Warrior is a more likely winner than Flightline. I know that sounds crazy, but I think Jackie's Warrior is just in the easiest spot possible, and nobody there can run with her early with him, and it looks like a foregone conclusion that horse is going to win.
I tend to agree with you there. I really like Jackie's Warrior today. I think he's different as an older horse and more consistent than he was a younger horse. Derby Bill, do you have an upset play against Jackie's Warrior?
No, I was the horse that scratched out that was going to give Jackie's Warrior competition in this race. So I can't remember his name right now. He scratched out and no chance.
The pre-entries, I think.
Yeah,
I think in the pre-entries. Yeah, the field's intact.
He had competition in that, but after the entries were left, even Wesley Ward's playing. He said $2 million race, you know, second place prize pays very well with Camara. So, yeah, these guys aren't going to be disappointed with second place prize money behind a horse that could win by, you know, over-unders five lengths win by Jackie's Warrior. So if you're betting the over-under propositions, that's a good one to take over five lengths. This horse is a monster. Rosario is hungry, too. So, yeah, I can't see anybody in here. Oh, Bessie's some of these, they're classy horses, but they're not up to his level. So Jackie's Warrior, another one we're going to have to stick in the exotics and to make a buck on.
Barry, it sounds like you can get some side action with five lengths in a six furlong race there with Jackie's Warrior. Maybe that's the way to find value there with Derby Bill. What? Closing out here. Other thoughts on the day, and you know, what are your thoughts just on closing up the Breeders' Cup here? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a great day. Like yesterday, there's not many favorites. You know, that'll just ruin me, but I think there's some opportunities, especially later on in the card. You know, that Dirt Mile is a tough race. Also, the Turf Sprint is very tough. So there's some opportunities, and it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Don't be scared by a few little drizzle drops. Barry, thanks for joining us on Off to the Races, and looking forward to the Breeders' Cup today and talking to you next season on Off to the Races.
Thank you so much for having me. Derby Bill, do your thing, man.
Oceanic. Play a couple all bucks right on that horse. It's a closing, crazy, crazy closer. On the DeHossett at Colonial Downs, and you know, won't beat Golden Pal, but will be in the superfecta, and I know you need your superfecta cash flow.
Absolutely. There you go. Oceanic probably, Derby Bill. So, Derby Bill, thanks for all your handicapping all year on the show. Certainly an anchor of the show in your anchor leg position. And good luck today on Breeders' Cup Day. It's always a big day. I'll try and stay up on the messages that are made during the day. But thanks so much for your handicapping, Derby Bill.
Yeah, only good die young. I'll be back.